So for the last several weeks, we've been talking about growing in Christ or having Christ formed in us. We looked at what does it look like to die with Christ, to rise with him? How does being thankful, how does that grow us in Christ? And then we looked at the reality that or the necessity to grow together. In fact, God has placed us in the body on purpose, and it's for our growth. And this morning, I want to talk about growing in Christ's likeness through the power of the Holy Spirit. And when I talk about the Spirit, I mean the Holy Spirit. I mean the third person in the Trinity. And sometimes within churches, we run into a couple ditches when we talk about the Holy Spirit. On one side of the ditch, we just basically ignore the Holy Spirit. And we can become spiritless, lifeless, kind of just doing an imitation of Christ. I mean, the Holy Spirit could leave the church, and it would take weeks to figure it out. And then there's another ditch where we just kind of blame everything on the Holy Spirit. Anything goofy we do or weird, we're just like, oh, I was led by the Spirit to do that. I'm like, oh, that's weird because that contradicts Scripture. Didn't know the Holy Spirit would do that. And I say that when I talk about the ditches, I don't want to dismiss the reality that sometimes God does tell us to do some weird things. And sometimes, I mean, we know that as a church, we've done some things where I'm like, man, I'm scared to death to move forward and do this thing. But I believe this is what the Spirit of God keeps showing us over and over again. But it looks like there's a river there and we're going to move forward. And we step and we're like, hey, it's dry land. God's really good at this. He knew what he was doing. And so we want to be careful. We want to avoid the ditches and to be open to the working of God. Now, I'm not going to preach from this chapter, so don't turn there. Like if you're flipping already, I'm going to be in Galatians if you like flipping pages quickly. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul reminds the hearers, he's saying, yeah, the Holy Spirit's active. He's working and there's gifts and some of them kind of play out kind of weird ways. But as you read through, every time the Holy Spirit is active and working through those gifts, it unifies the body. It edifies the body. The body matures and grows and focuses in on mission. And in fact, he closes 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and he says, but let me show you a more excellent way. In other words, there's all this cool stuff going on, and he says, let me show you a more excellent way. And then he goes into chapter 13, which we call the love chapter. And he basically says, look, if what you're doing in the church, the singing, whatever is going on, if it does not result in love, you're making noise. I mean, he literally says that. And a fellow pastor said, I don't care how high you jump on Sunday. I want to know if you can walk straight on Monday. And he wasn't opposed to, you know, because sometimes we get excited here and people are raising hands and that's cool. He's not opposed to that. But the same Holy Spirit that gets me excited, the same Holy Spirit that allows me to sing and to preach and to worship, allows me to walk straight on Monday. Allows me to live out this life that we're called to live out. So a couple of weeks ago, we were in Galatians chapter 4. And today I wanted to look at Galatians chapter 5 and talk about walking after the Spirit. So Galatians chapter 5 is going to be on the screen. It's on your phone. It's probably any electronic device you have probably has it. There's some under the seat cushions. If you need a Bible, feel free to take that one with you. But Galatians chapter 5, and I'm going to start at verse 16. And the Apostle Paul says this. He says, but I say, walk after the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. What a cool promise. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. So the Apostle Paul, he's talking about the Christian life. He describes it as a walk. And that reminds us that it's not static. Sometimes we talk about our faith, and we We have a testimony that's in the past, and that's good. Everybody needs a testimony. But it's a walk. It's a right now kind of thing. You know, sometimes people tell their story, and I go, is God still alive? Is God active? Is he moving in your life? You know, like, well, back in 19 whatever, I gave my life, and I've been in the way ever since. Yes, you have. Our faith is not static. I'm sorry. We're headed somewhere. We don't lie in the Spirit. We don't sit in the Spirit. We don't stand after the Spirit, but we walk after the Spirit. Now, some of you know this, that my dad was born with muscular dystrophy. And over time, walking became more and more difficult. The last couple decades of his life, he lost all ability to walk. Now, as a child, like, his parents didn't go, oh, yeah, he's not walking. No big deal. We just move on. No, they did everything they could to figure out, okay, what's wrong? What's going on? And in the spiritual realm, it's the same. Just think of the physical realm. Those of you that have two legs, if you can't walk, you might be sick, you might be injured, you might be afflicted, you might have some disease, or you're dead. Those are reasons why you would not be walking, because walking is normal. Normal if everything's functioning correctly. And it's the same spiritually. If the life of Christ is in me, if I'm born again by the Spirit of God, I should walk after the Spirit. And when I'm not walking after the Spirit, I ought to do what my dad's parents said, what's wrong? Let's figure out what's wrong. What's the injury? What's the hurt? Do I have life in me? Do I have the Spirit of God in me? Now, how do we practically do this? John Piper says this. He says, you walk by the Spirit when your heart is resting in the promises of God. I love that. Resting is a lot like abiding, and it's a lot like walking. We're resting in the promises of God. I'm trusting in those. He says, the Spirit reigns over the flesh. The Spirit reigns over the flesh. In your life, when you live by faith in the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you and is now working everything together for your good. It's just kind of a matter of believing what God says is true. Do I believe that? Do I trust in that? George Mueller said this, the secret of walking by the Spirit was to meditate on the precious truth of the Word of God. I think that's something that we don't do a lot anymore, to just pause and meditate on the truth of God until your heart is happy in God, and again, resting in His promises. Resting. It's not a rest where you're laying there and doing nothing, but you're resting while you're abiding, while you're walking. And you're saying, okay, God, I'm trusting you, just like I'm trusting Josh when you built this floor. I'm trusting you that you did a good job here. It's a little squeaky right about there. But I'm resting in that because I trust him. I'm putting my trust in God. Hudson Taylor said that he discovered that walking after the Spirit occurred when, guess what? When he was resting and and rejoicing in the Lord under all circumstances. We talked about that a couple weeks ago, to give thanks in all circumstances. You know what it's really saying? It's God, you're God, and I'm not. You've got this. You've got me. Because every time I think I've got me, I mess it up. So I'm resting in you. Paul says we walk by faith in this manner. Galatians 5:5, and then we'll jump back down. He says, for through the Spirit, by faith, are awaiting for the hope of righteousness. We know that God's doing something. We know that God has done something, and he will do something. And Romans 8:6, he says, for the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Well, let's make this a little simple, I hope. Where's your hope and faith? I mean, that's what we're talking about is where is your hope? What is your faith? Is it on this next thing? Okay, if this happens next month and if this happens next month, What if it doesn't matter what happens next month? If God is God, then I can walk through whatever comes this next month. Walking after the Spirit is really about me surrendering to God and saying, okay, God, you do what you can do. I mean, I couldn't save myself. What makes me think I'm going to walk after the Spirit apart from you? I mean, my job is just move forward in obedience. Move forward in obedience, believing that He will supply the power that I need. He promises that. Promises that He'll supply what we need. And you know what that is? That's faith. It's not my best imitation of Jesus. It's the Spirit of God working through me. We're to live by the Spirit of God. And by the way, I'm not asking you to figure it out. Like, okay, how exactly does this work? I don't know how He raised Jesus from the dead. I don't have to figure that out. I don't even try to figure it out when I turn on that light switch. I just know if there's power flowing through, the lights go on. All right? There's people smarter than me that know why it works. Okay? But it's the same thing. If it's connected to the source, you're going to have power. Right? So we need to be connected by the source. And walking by the Spirit is a normal response. This is a normal response. If this isn't what's happening, then we need, you know, we need to do an evaluation. Okay, why is the person not moving? What's wrong? What's not connecting to the legs? So what do we do when we fall? Anybody ever fall in the spiritual realm or the physical? Any? Okay, yeah. Okay, more of you fall in the physical than the spiritual. But so when I was in college, I was walking down some stairs, and have you ever done the thing where you think there's another stair, and then you think it's flat? Well, I thought there was another stair, but it was actually flat, and so I'm going for that, and then I'm stepping where I think it's flat, and I hit the ground. And so as I'm laying there on the ground, I'm just like, man, I'm so stupid. I blew it again. I'll never get it right. And I just laid there for hours and hours. No, I wouldn't do that. First of all, I'm in college. So I hit the ground, and I'm like, boom, I'm up. I'm like, yeah, kind of meant to do that. I just walked that off. Now, to be fair, if I do that today, I'm doing a few more checks. I'm like, okay, hip's still in. All right, right here. But I'm going to get up. And what about spiritually? Because I know people that they fall down and they just don't get back up. They say that, you know, I'm never going to get this right. I used to think that as a young Christian, like I was thinking there was going to be a day that I was going to arrive, you know, I was going to get there Yeah, it didn't happen. I didn't arrive. I still learned to walk by the Spirit. And you know what happens when we fall? We don't just lay there. We get up. It's called repentance. In the first service, I said that you're supposed to make a 360 turn. Don't do a 360. Do a 180. Okay? I feel bad for those people. repentance. 180. I'm going in this direction. I'm going the wrong way. Sometimes we, you know, we're not totally aware. Other times where you're like, this is what I want to do and I'm going to do it. And we fall down and you're like, yeah, that didn't work out well. That's where we repent. And repentance is a gift. The New Testament writers tells us that it is a gift. I mean, how cool is that the Holy Spirit convicts you? I mean, the Holy Spirit could just be like, yeah, go ahead. You know, but the Holy Spirit can convicts us. And I think the Christian response would be, Holy Spirit, have your way. Convict me. Change me. Transform me. Don't just convict the people that I don't like. Convict me, Holy Spirit. Move in my life. Transform me. And why is this so important? Well, he says in verse 17, he says, the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these things For these are in opposition to one another, so you may not do the things that you please. Here's another freebie. I thought about it during the first service, and if I'm preaching about walking after the Spirit, I probably ought to do that. But I thought about years ago, I used to do jail and prison ministry. In fact, that's where I learned how to preach. I was able to leave at night, by the way. But I was in the jail talking to this guy, and it was like one of those moments where I'm like, man, I'm on fire right now. I'm answering every question. He's got his rejections about the gospel, and so I lay out this gospel presentation, and I looked at this young guy, and I said, is there any reason why you would not accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior tonight? And he said, yeah, I want to do what I want to do. I'm a pretty decent counselor, so I said, how's that working out for you? And he thought it was working out pretty well. And I said, bro, let me help you out. You're sitting here talking to me in an orange jumpsuit. You want to go have some pizza afterwards? Because I'm going to leave here, and I'm going to go get some pizza. Somebody's going to come in here, and they're going to walk you back to a cell, and you're going to eat whatever they serve you tonight. The reality is, you can't do what you want to do. That's a flesh trip. And there's two opposing forces. One of them's going to direct your life. All right? It's either the flesh or the spirit. Now, if you're reading from NIV and NLT, I think they make this one confusing. Sometimes they clear things up. Sometimes they make it confusing. I'm not telling you to throw out your NIVs and NLTs. So don't leave there. Don't leave here saying, you know, Pastor Don hates that translation, right? It's not what I'm saying. There's a word called sarx in the Greek, and it means flesh. It translates as flesh. Sometimes the NIV sometimes will translate it as sinful nature. And my thought is, that's a theological conclusion, not a translation. It may be a good theological conclusion. But the Apostle Paul could have written sinful nature. It sounds like he's saying something has happened within the Christian. All right. And you don't have to agree with me on this one. I'm okay. You can be a brother and sister in Christ and translate that differently than me. So what is flesh? What does he mean by flesh? Because I don't think he means sinful nature. I think in this, flesh is not this. He's not saying, hey, your problem's skin. Once you get rid of skin, you're okay. That's not what he's saying. Flesh is something within us that attempts to have our needs met apart from God and God's empowerment. Think about Adam and Eve. I don't think Adam and Eve were created with a sinful nature. I think they took on one. But before the fall, what did they have? They had flesh. And the serpent came and he appealed to their flesh. They had a propensity to sin. They were not slaves to sin at that point, but they had a propensity. I would argue Jesus probably did not have a sinful nature, but that he had flesh. But what we do know, regardless of how you translate any of that, Jesus was able to live a life without sin. Jesus, I find it fascinating that when Jesus stands to preach, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Which is fascinating that God in the flesh comes and he needs the Spirit of God to do ministry. He needs the Holy Spirit. And I'm thinking, he's deity. He's God in flesh. And he lives a life empowered by the Holy Spirit. I think I need a life empowered by the Holy Spirit if Jesus needed that. Let me make it a little more simple here. Take flesh and spell it backwards. And what you have is H, self. So when I walk after the flesh, that's a person living by himself or herself. Just spell that backwards. Eugene Peterson said, self is the soul minus God. The soul minus God. That's a person walking after the flesh. And what's wild about the flesh is you can even do good things for the wrong reason. I was probably on a flesh trip when I'm talking to that guy in the jail. Like, I got this. This dude has given his life to Jesus Christ because I nailed every single answer. And it's like, nope. Spirit of God wasn't working there. And you could do good things for the wrong reasons. Think about the Galatian church. They were suggesting there, like, okay, if you follow the law perfectly, then you have right standing before God. Hear me out. The law is good, all right? Don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. The law's good, but the law doesn't transform me in and of itself. Legalism means, okay, I'm going to take these biblical standards and then I'm going to meet them, and then I earn God's favor by meeting all his standards. All right, that's legalism, and that sounds like flesh to me. Like, I'm going to get this right. Well, no, you're not. It's kind of like, how many of you, do you ever stand before a mirror in the morning and you go, who are you? And anybody ever do that? Or what happened to you? Let's say, I'll just talk to, it doesn't work for some of you, but some of you that have hair, imagine you're standing in front of the mirror, and the mirror is kind of like the law. And there's a reflection, and you find out what's wrong as you look in that reflection. Now, most of you, when you look and you go, my hair's a mess, most of you probably take a brush or a comb. None of you take the mirror off the wall and comb your hair with it, right? And I think that's what legalism does. It's we're using the law in a way that it was never intended to be used. All right, the mirror just reflects. It shows you, like, hey, yeah, you're off here. And so we need something else. The legalist and the licentiousness person, they have one thing in common. They use the flesh. The flesh is what's guiding them. I can do this. I got this. Well, if I've got this, I don't need the cross. Jesus died needlessly on a cross if I've got this all figured out. And the reality is, just like my friend in the jail, we wind up doing things, we wind up being in a place that are contrary to what we really want. I'm sure what that guy was thinking is well, I want joy in my life. I want peace. I want this satisfaction. I want all this. And it doesn't work. It does not work. And the reality is I think a lot of us, we seek good things. And, well, there's a country song about that, right? We're seeking love in all the wrong places. Yeah. And so we are created for good things, but we go after them the wrong way. And then we miss out. And we miss out because we're not walking by God's Spirit. Let me reread verse 17. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so you may not do the things that you please. In other words, this flesh road, it's not going to where you want to go. It gives you some cheap promises, but it's not getting there. And you know what sometimes happens? I think walking after the flesh, first couple steps, pretty easy. It's pretty easy to just go, yeah, that's what I want, and I'm going after that. You know what happens? It gets harder. It gets harder and gets harder, and then you get to a place where you're looking in that mirror and go, who are you? What happened to you? This is not where I want to be. I bet you if we had time, I bet you we'd get dozens of people go, yeah, I know that road. I've walked that road. Verse 18, he says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And every time I read that, I really expect him to say, since we are led by the Spirit, we're not under the flesh. He doesn't say that. And he's the one who's inspired, so I'm going to go with what he wrote. He says, you're not under the law. And his point is that you and I, we don't overcome the desires of the flesh by remaining under the law. It's not if I just do enough good things, you know, if I take that law and I apply it, you know, to my head or what, you know, whatever, that's not what's going on. What we need to do is possess the Holy Spirit of God and experience the manifestation of God's grace working in our lives. We need to come back to Him. It says, so what are the results after walking after the flesh? It's really a lot of good stuff here. Let me read this. Verse 19, he says, now the deeds of the flesh are evident. In other words, he's like, it should be obvious to you and I when we start walking after the flesh. He says, they're immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness. Think of Thanksgiving. Just kidding. Envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these for which I forewarn you. And just as I have forewarned you, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, we went over these a couple weeks ago, so I'm not going to dive super deep into them. And 1 Corinthians chapter 6 has a similar list, and it's got similar warnings to that. And here's what, I'll tell you what, the way my flesh works, maybe your flesh works this way too. We pick out a couple of those, and we go, yeah. And it's the ones we don't do. And we go, yeah, that's why that person is the way that they are. That's why that person's, you know, on a one-way ticket to hell. And that's a pretty fleshly thing to do in the sense where we can see what the scripture says, but the Holy Spirit is not convicting us of the work that he needs to do in our own lives. And the truth is, you search that long enough, you meditate on that, you're like, yeah, I did that on the way to church. You know, that's what's going on in my life. And praise God, we have that gift of repentance. And my second warning is don't ignore that. Don't ignore that. Cause sometimes it's easy to go, okay, yeah, we all fall short, you know, haha. But to look at that and go, man, I don't want that in my life. I want to be transformed. I want to become like Christ. And then there's another important in there. He says those who practice such things. He's not saying, okay, you do this, boom, you're out. All right, that's not what he's saying there. He's talking about a person that says, okay, I'm on this road, I'm walking out of the flesh, I'm doing whatever I want, I don't need God's grace, I don't need repentance. He's like, that's practicing and practicing. You and I, we have this gift of repentance, and this is where repentance comes in. You find yourself walking after the flesh. You go, yeah, did that on the way to church. 1 John 1:9-10. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How incredible is that? Like I come to God and my brokenness and my actions, even my thought life. Like imagine, yeah, I think we could empty out the place. I said, okay, any thought you had this week is going to be up on that screen. You're like, I'm out of here. But in our brokenness, we can come to God and go, yeah, God, I was walking after the flesh. You know what I did. You know what I said. You know what I thought. And you cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such things there is no law. Man, isn't how many of you would like all the stuff that's in that list? Yeah. I think most of the world wants that. And this isn't a list. This isn't your to-do list. All right? This isn't like, I'm going to be patient. I'm going to be patient right now. I'm going to be patient. It's not doing that, okay? The trees you plant, they're not like produce fruit. There's something else that's going on that connects. And in fact, when I'm doing that, that's just flesh. That's my own strength. Paul says this in Romans 7:4. He says, therefore, my brothers, you were made to die to the law through the body of Christ, so that you might be joined to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. It's an incredible picture here. He's painting this picture of us dying with Christ. I'm crucified with Christ. Therefore, it's no longer I who live. So we die with him. This is a baptismal picture. You know, we die with him, but we don't stay dead. We rise to a new life. And then he says, we're joined to another, which is Christ, that we might bear fruit. Any other context, join two things together, produce fruit. You would think of pregnancy. You would think of reproduction. And you would think you need two things for that reproduction. And he's saying the result here is we die to an old way, we join with Christ, and in essence, we become pregnant with the fruit of the Holy Spirit as God is working in our life. The fruit is something that happens when we stay connected with Christ, when we stay in fellowship. Remember, abide in me, you know, and you don't have to figure it out. Like I was telling the other service, like, I just know I turn that light switch and the lights come on. There's other people here that can figure out why it does. I just know if there's current flowing through there, the lights will come on. Okay. If the Holy Spirit of God is in your life, you're abiding in Christ, there's going to be fruit produced in your life. I'm not talking about perfection. None of you are perfect because you're still breathing. So I know you haven't experienced perfection yet, but this is walking after the Spirit. You were designed, you were created to be in relationship with the Creator of the universe, and He wants to do something in you that you cannot do by yourself. And as I said, these are things that people seek after. People seek after love. People seek after joy. They just seek it in the wrong ways. It's like God has all this laid out. He's got it all laid out and says, let me bless you with this. And we go, let me try this out first. Let me go over here. And even as Christians, it boggles the mind where it's like it's all laid out right here. And God says, come to me. I'm gonna give this to you. I mean, think about it. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And just like some freebies God's going to throw in, he says, I'm going to invite you to the greatest rescue mission project in the history of the world. And you are invited to the greatest project. You are invited to the greatest story ever told. I mean, what else can you ask for? It's all right there. It's all found in Jesus Christ. And here's the problem. I don't know about you, but sometimes I settle for cheap imitations. Settle for cheap imitations. It's all glittery. The glitter's not going to last. It's like a temporary facsimile of love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness. And we go for that. And Paul says this, now, verse 24. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. Where we continue, we come back, we crucify that, we die with Christ. And if we live by the Spirit, so if the Spirit has given me life, that's what's flowing through me. He says, let us walk by the Spirit. I couldn't save myself. What makes me think I'm going to live this out apart from Jesus? So he says, walk by the Spirit. And then he says, let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. It's not like you get to the place where you're like, I've arrived. I've got it. I seriously thought that when I was a younger Christian. I thought there was going to be a point that I was going to arrive and I was going to get this all figured out and I was going to sin no more. And you know what I figured out? I figured out how to get back up. I figured how to get back up, and I figured out the quicker I get back up. Like you don't have to be in the far off land to start repenting. You could be one step out the Father's door and go, oh, no, I've tried this road. And come back and say, Father, I repent. I turn from that. I don't want to eat what I'm feeding the pigs. Okay? The Christian has crucified the flesh in the sense that we trust God, that you have broken the power of sin in my life. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I can serve righteousness. This sin, it's going to affect me. It's going to challenge me. It's going to lure on me. But it does not have the control that it did before I trusted in Christ. Romans 6:6, it says, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. I don't have to do it. I mean, before it was almost like, here's your choices of sin that you can choose from. And now it's as if from the power of the Holy Spirit, I can turn. I can repent. I can walk after the Spirit of God. I can abide in Christ and allow the Holy Spirit of God to produce the fruit in my life. So let me give a couple steps and then we'll close. If you find yourself where you've walked away from God, even if it's a few steps, you're in a foreign place, turn 180, come back to God, repent, confess. And maybe there's some where you're saying, well, I don't even know if the Spirit of God's in me. I've never come to the place where I've received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, where he rules and reigns in my heart. I would say today would be the day to say, Lord Jesus, I turn from my ways. I turn to you. I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Thank you that on the cross you took my penalty. You took my sin. You took the death that belonged to me. You took that and you give me your righteousness. You give me your Holy Spirit, and I want to walk in your Spirit today. So as we sing this closing song, if the Holy Spirit of God is working in you or convicting you of something, just come into agreement with him. Say, you're right, Holy Spirit. I've walked away, you know, half a step. I've walked away half a step, but I turn back to you. I'm thankful that you forgive me of my sin. You cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And I want to walk after you, because I don't want to live a life to do what I can do apart from God. I want to experience the deep satisfaction of walking after your Spirit and seeing what you can do and bringing glory to you. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the gift of repentance. Thank you for the gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and for our salvation and is now seated at the right hand of the Father. Thank you that you have not left us as orphans, but you have given us your Holy Spirit. And your Holy Spirit is in our hearts. Your Holy Spirit guides and convicts. And so, Holy Spirit, speak to us today. Transform us. Change us into the image of Christ. And have your way. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.